The New Solid Project was a project funded through the USDA Competitive Grant Program and was established in 2012 to develop a psyllid that would not be capable of transmitting the bacteria from an infected to an uninfected tree. And there's a world of science behind that that suggested that it was possible at that time. And so CRDF took the lead in developing this approach with a fairly large group of scientists from around the country. The five-year period of that study is over. Many of those scientists have great advances in what they've learned, and that whole area of science has advanced during the same time. So we're looking forward to next steps that, although this particular grant's over, the project will continue in various forms.
But we did not come up with a psyllid that does not transmit HLB, correct?
That's correct. We do not have a psyllid in hand or in culture or on a plant that is ready to go to the field. But the advances that came out of the research should lead us to that endpoint in a nearer time.
I believe you told us right at the start there wasn't really a high hope for success in that program of getting that psyllid, but that you thought you would get some good science out of it, so you feel like you got what you expected?
2 points on that. The first one is all of the pieces are high risk. That is, there's no guarantee that any of those elements are going to work, so a broader approach was used with the idea that we would make some progress. So that's true. So it was all high risk. The other point is, when you write a five-year program, you have to culminate with some product. And we knew from the beginning it would be very, very optimistic to have the psyllid ready to go within that five-year period. So I'm not disappointed. Some great science has come along. I would refer your listeners to consider what's happened with mosquitoes and the dengue fever and now Zika and these other things. A very similar approach that we're kind of building on has made significant strides during the same five-year period, and we hope to follow as they have with ultimately the psyllid that can be put out in the field.
You all, like everyone else in the industry, suffered a little bit from Irma. Some of your research projects took a little hit.
Yes, it's not often that people think first about when a storm or a freeze or something comes, oh, what happened to the research? But that's our job. So we were out ahead of time doing some sampling to make sure we could get measurements before the impact of the wind. And then we've been out in the field collecting information, but also checking with all of our cooperators. What's the status of the grove? Is it flushing back out? Did trees get damaged? Do we have any projects that are permanently impaired that we just can't continue the research on? That's the triage approach. So we've done that, and it looks pretty promising that most of the field trials we have are in good shape. Over the next several months, like growers, we will be watching the regrowth and what happens in the spring so that we can further assess what kind of data and what the quality of the data will be coming from those field trials in particular.
You gave a little update on the Bayer project.
Yes, I think it's important to just remind people that the Bayer partnership is a longer-term effort to take a very focused look at plant defense and also microbes that could provide utility against Liberbacter. And so the pieces are coming together. The assembly is underway for the teams that are going to be doing this work. The screening core is beginning to be developed, and the report that we've had from Bayer is everything is on schedule according to what we planned for at this time. And in January of 2018, we'll have a steering committee meeting and a written report on progress through the first 6 months. So we're feeling good about where it is right now.
Is there anything you would like to add?
I just want to comment on the fact that today we honored Tom Turpin and TIG, the Technology Innovations Group, for the role they played in bringing about CRDF, the vision, the business planning, the experience in many of the elements that it took to put this organization together. And Tom and his colleagues with TIG are playing a lesser role and becoming less critical to our organization today. But today was a great opportunity to recognize the contributions, and were it not for their efforts, where would we be in this organization? So want to say thanks to Tom and Tig for that.
Tom and Tig, will they still be involved to some extent going forward with CRDF?
There are a number of elements of planning underway. You heard today about the National Academy study, which will bring to us its findings in January, February. We've just hired a Florida-based full-time program manager. Dr. Lisa Weaver will take over on a regular basis the primary responsibilities that Tig and Tom Turpin provided for us from a consulting standpoint. So it remains to be seen where the holes are in what we're doing, and as we go forward with new priorities, we're leaving the door open to continue our relationship with Tig and identify where they might be able to help us downstream.
For Southeast AgNet, I'm Ernie Neff.